to see a little bit more about that cross and this wonderful Christ who died in my place. I want to turn today to the 27th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 27. And let us begin reading with verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood by stood there when they heard that, said, this man calls for Elias or Elijah. Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I want to speak this morning on God's anger at Calvary. We draw that from verse 51, where we find the earth did quake. On down in verse 54, they that were watching Jesus saw the earth quake. As we'll see a little bit later, an earthquake is one major manifestation of the anger of God. We saw in a previous message some truth from Isaiah 53, where that Isaiah tells us it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that is, to bruise Christ. This terminology undoubtedly came because of messages like we read in Psalm 40, which the Apostle Paul then quotes in Hebrews 10. He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifice thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. I want to notice that there did come a day when God could no longer accept the blood of bulls and of goats to make atonement for sin. There came the day when he had to have a human sacrifice. Even the precious and holy, sinless blood of Jesus in order to make atonement to cover the sins of humanity. And so I want to notice today that when the scripture says it pleased God to bruise him, simply bringing out that fact that God could no longer accept those blood offerings of animals. When it says it pleased God to bruise him, it does not mean that God was overjoyed and that God delighted to see Jesus writhe in pain on the cross of Calvary. Quite the contrary. God was angry when Jesus was hanged on the cross. Psalm 7:11 says this, God is angry with the wicked every day. And the day that Jesus was hanged on the cross was absolutely no different. Peter describes that atmosphere in Acts 2:23 when he said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God. Yes, it was because God chose it that way. He was delivered by the determinate counsel of God, by the foreknowledge of God. He says, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. God was angry with the wickedness displayed that day as Jesus was delivered to the cross. We read of the earthquake, as we see here in verse 51, verse 54. They are a sign of God's anger. 2 Samuel 22:8 says it this way: the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. God poured out his wrath and manifested it even by earthquakes. One good example of this, we've seen it many times, sure you remember it well, from Numbers 16. This is after Korah and his band rose up against Jesus, against Moses. Not only in rebellion against Moses, but rebellion against God's order. And when all of that had run its course, so to speak, and they still insisted on their own ways, they were going to dethrone Moses. But Moses said this: if these men die the common death of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertains unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, you shall understand then these men have provoked the Lord. And the story indeed tells immediately that the earth did open up her mouth. I believe that is the first record of an earthquake that we have in the scripture. And God showed his anger. These men had provoked him, and he let it be known in no uncertain terms that they were indeed wrong. Revelation 16, we see this a number of times throughout the book of Revelation, but one of those times is in chapter 16, verse 18. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. And notice the extent of this earthquake. Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. God will pour out his wrath against Babylon, or indeed Rome, Catholicism, the false church. God will make it known that he did not approve of this ungodly regime, and the greatest earthquake of all time will be used in order to prove it and to divide that city into three great parts, as we see here. Revelation 6:12 is another example. This is when Jesus opened the seals. There were seven of them. And here we find, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And these things have become progressively worse as we see in studying those seals there in Revelation. Lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. This is another fulfillment of what we read in Psalm 2:4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Earthquakes are a definite expression of the wrath and the sore displeasure of God. I want to notice that this same scene of darkness, this same scene of wrath is seen at the cross. Look at verse 45 of our present chapter here in Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, even as that darkness described in Revelation 6. Then, of course, as we have already seen, we find out that the earthquake came after that, exactly after the same pattern. I want to see a little bit about this, put it into context. Notice verse 50. And when he had cried again with a loud voice, Jesus yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And so we find once again, it seems like this cry, this final cry of Jesus actually triggered this earthquake which came upon the earth at that time. In verse 46, we find that Jesus, about the ninth hour, you remember, cried with a loud voice, and my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the reason for God's anger, because man and his wickedness and Satan and all of his ungodliness made it necessary that Jesus should be exiled into outer darkness for this particular time. God was separated from his Son, could not look upon him, as we have seen again and again, because he had to pour out his wrath and his judgment on sin. And Jesus was exceeding sinful. He was the personification of sin in that hour. It's no wonder that God was absolutely angry. And then when Jesus said, it is finished, it is done, it is complete, we have seen again and again, he didn't mean that his life was over. He meant that God's work of redemption was finished. But oh, what it cost him, what it cost God. And it's no wonder then that immediately God seemed to respond, as we find here, as soon as Jesus had uttered that last cry, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. I don't believe it was necessarily the earthquake that caused that. The very finger of God could have ripped it from top to bottom, and it shows that the way into the Holy of Holies is now open for all humanity. But Scripture tells us there was an earthquake, and that indeed, again, is an expression of the very anger of God against sin and unrighteousness. And as he said, he is angry with the wicked every morning. And so we find that there was the great earthquake. Verse 54. When the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, this was the Son of God. The centurion recognized the earthquake as the voice of God. The centurion knew beyond doubt it was no coincidence that this happened at this particular time. He understood this was God's voice trying to tell all humanity, and voice indeed his displeasure. And that is exactly what God did. This is God's anger expressed. As we read, he is angry with the wicked every morning. But 3 days later, there was another earthquake. Verse 1 of chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I want to again notice that Scripture says it was not the earthquake that opened the grave. The angel came and rolled back the stone. And we might ask the question, why would God be angry on Resurrection Day? Why would God be angry when things had been restored? Jesus had been raised from the grave, and yet God made his voice known again by the earthquake. I wanted to emphasize, after Matthew reported the first earthquake, he tells us in verse 52, after that happened, the graves were opened. This is in chapter 27 again. The graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. You'll notice it was many bodies. We don't know who they were. They're never identified. But all of them were not raised, but many were. Verse 53, they came out of the graves after his resurrection. It emphasizes again that Jesus had to be the first fruit of the resurrection. And so these came out of the graves after he did. And as we read here, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I want to see here that there was absolute evidence, not only of the resurrection of Jesus, but God put an exclamation point on it, and there were others that had been in the graves, and they went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. So why was God angry? Because, and on this day of resurrection. Let us read verse 64 of Matthew 27. This is when the priests and elders went to the authorities, gathered together unto Pilate. In verse 64, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. God is angry because even before the resurrection took place, they are taking every effort in order to explain it away and to deny what God has done with his son. They want Pilate, and they got that. They did get the sepulcher sealed, and there were armed guards there in order to prevent the disciples from stealing him away. If you go back to the book of John, you will find out that Jesus attended three Passovers during his lifetime after he began his earthly ministry. At the very first one, he told all of those within earshot, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up. But he made it clear that the temple he talked about was a temple of his body. Read through the scriptures. We've been studying it in Mark on Wednesday evening, and it is throughout the other three gospels that Jesus gave the exact order. He would be betrayed by the chief priests and the elders. They would deliver him to the Romans. He would be delivered to the cross to be crucified. He would be put in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and on the third day he would rise again. They knew all of that. They told Pilate all of that. And we're going to make sure that the disciples don't come and steal him away and say, this is what has happened. Well, we full well know it did happen. Jesus was raised from the grave. And so God showed forth his wrath because of the blatant unbelief which began even before the resurrection. And I'll guarantee you it didn't get any better. Chapter 28, verse 11. After the resurrection, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, That's the guard that had been placed there by Pilate, which came into the city and showed unto the three chief priests all things that were done. They showed the chief priest that the stone had been rolled away and this tomb was now empty, exactly as Jesus said it would be. But when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and we'll secure you." It would be under penalty of death that a soldier went to sleep. Says, "We'll buy them off. We'll take care of that." Verse 15, they took the money. They did as they were taught by these elders. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So before and after the resurrection, they made every effort to deny the resurrection. They knew what it meant. If they admit that Jesus has been raised from the grave, they admit that he is the Son of God, and they could not do that. And so it is no wonder that God sent another earthquake 3 days later. Again, this was no coincidence. This was not aftershocks, so to speak, as we hear today. God, on purpose, sent another earthquake to show just how angry he was because men refuse to believe the evidence that was set right before them. It is important for us to understand God is still angry with the wicked every morning. I want to turn back to Psalm 69, and we're going to see somewhat of a summation of these things that we have noticed today. This is a psalm we have visited many times over the years. It is called the Trespass Offering Psalm. Let us go down to verse 20. The Psalms give us insight that is not given in the four Gospels. The four Gospels report the physical things that happened to Jesus and those that happened outwardly and all around him. But the Psalms give us a beautiful index and insight into not only what happened to Jesus, but what he felt and what he saw from his perspective there as he was hanged on the cross. And so we find Psalm 22 does the same thing. You will notice beginning with verse 20, "Reproach hath broken mine heart." The reason for that, the reproach he's talking about, is because God laid the sins of all humanity, all mankind, on Jesus. Every sin that has ever been committed or ever will be committed was laid on him that day. "Reproach hath broken mine heart." We can't even imagine this next statement. "I'm full of heaviness." There is none of us can even begin to imagine the weight of guilt and sin that was weighed down upon Jesus as he hung on the cross. "I looked for some to take pity. There was none." Not even God could come in and issue any kind of pity or sympathy because God had to assume the role of God rather than his Father at that time. And God had to judge him as the most wicked, ungodly sinner of all time. Jesus was alone, and I mean absolutely isolated, something we have never experienced. I looked for comforters, there were none. Verse 21, a direct reference to the cross. They gave me gall for my meat. In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink, even as we read. Then we come to verse 22. This is where God again manifests his anger. He was angry at the cross, and I can tell you his anger continues to this day for exactly the same reason. Let their table become a snare before them. And here's the key. That which should have been for their welfare. The cross is for the benefit of every man, woman, and child that has ever been born into this world. But if they refuse his way of salvation, if they refuse to accept his son, even as those elders did in Jesus' time, God is still angry. And notice, let it become a trap. Their very means of salvation will become a trap to them because they rejected the way that God had ordained for them. Verse 23, let their eyes be darkened that they see not, make their loins continually to shake. Verse 24, pour out your indignation, your anger upon them. Let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. God is still angry. The price has been paid. There's no two ways about that. But God is still angry when men refuse to accept the offering that cost him so much. He's not going to get over that until all of those rejectors have been thrown into the lake of fire. And so God is justifiably angry. I want to close with Psalm 2. This psalm brings out two major groups of people. I trust that all of those here this morning have already made their decision and taken their place in the proper group. Psalm 2:12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. This means God is still going to pour out his wrath on every person that does not express his affection for Jesus. Any Christ rejecter is going to experience the fullness of the anger of God. This is no problem for any believer. We are absolutely ready, willing, wanting, clamoring to pour out our love and our affection on Jesus. The more, the better, as we indeed would kiss the Son, express our tremendous affection for him, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. And then blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That trust begins the day we trust him as our own personal Savior. Once a person has done that, I guarantee you, you are shielded from the anger of God forever and ever and ever. God's anger is leveled against the wicked, but that doesn't include any believer.